This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, March 17th, 2024. When you pray, prayers of intercession.
Well, good morning, Connection Church. Good morning. Come on. It's 10:44. Let's have a little life to it. Come on. Good morning.
Good morning.
There's better. There we go. Did you hear that online?
Oh, I love that over there.
There we go. Isn't this a glorious day to be part of God's kingdom? Amen? Yeah.
Hey, it's Jason Faulkner's birthday today. Woo, happy birthday.
It was also Fran's.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Didn't miss anybody else today?
We had fun with that one, yeah.
I know, it was Barry's last week. Happy birthday, Barry. Yeah.
Well, happy birthday. I would sing, but we'll do that later. Okay, so this morning is... Last Sunday, I think, as Kyle said, before Palm Sunday, before that Passion Week, before that last week of Jesus' life. Today, we're going to talk about prayers of intercession.
Well, good morning, Connection Church. Thank you.
Very good.
My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to be together today here and online. We want to share something that's really exciting that's coming up for us. As many of us know, last year was a tough year. We made some decisions to leave the United Methodist Church and align with the Global Methodist Church because that kind of connected with our... some of our beliefs. And so this April, which is next month, is the very first convening conference of the Northeast Annual Conference for the Global Methodist Church. And it's a really big deal. You know, people are going and we vote on things and it really begins our part in the denomination. And when I say Northeast, it's from Maine to Virginia. So that's our conference, and it'll get smaller as new churches align. But for now, here is the logo. Just want to say that Barry Wiseman designed the logo for the entire Northeast, and that's awesome. The scripture is, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit, because we are Holy Spirit led and driven. And we're also very excited because Carl... Sammons, there you are, and Alan are part of the planning set team, it's called Sessions Team, for all of the worship at this conference, and there's lots of worship. Carl's in charge of the tech, so it'll be live streamed, so you can watch, and Murray and Carl are representing this congregation in all of the voting, because we always have delegates that represent us. So they'll be there for the 3 days. Ron, you know, Guitar Ron, he's on the worship team for 3 days. And so he'll be part of a team from all over the Northeast and be playing his electric guitar as a worship leader. I'm the chair of the Board of Ministry for the whole Northeast, and so we get to ordain like 60 or 70 people. I don't, but I stand beside the bishop who does. And it's so exciting, but we are asking you to pray. And so tomorrow morning when you get the Adore in 24, I'm going to give you some prayer points for this 21 days of prayer and fasting as we bathe this whole conference in prayer, because it's part of what we're part of. And so thank you ahead of time. We're so excited about it. And so it's all good. I'd like to pray for us as we get started. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to gather here to pray, to lift up our Global Methodist Church and the Provisional Annual Conference that's ahead of us, to lift up each other. And now, Lord, as we lean into you and your word found in Scripture, remove any distraction, but help us have laser focus on who you are and whose we are. Help us walk out of here armed and ready for the week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So prayers of intercession. So these are a prayer of petition, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. They're prayers of petition, but with a specific focus. These prayers, we are petitioning God on behalf of somebody else. We're making a request on someone else's behalf. They're prayers of intercession throughout the scripture. And a good example is given to us by Jesus in the book of Luke, chapter 22, verses 31-32. We're reading from the New Living Translation. Now, it starts off, Simon, Simon, that's Simon Peter. Peter, one of the apostles, one of the, you know, very, I don't know, just headstrong disciples of Jesus. And it starts with Jesus talking to Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift through each of you like wheat. Oh, think about that one. Whoa. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So listen to this. This is important. So when you have repented and turned to me again, so it sounds like he's going to leave and come back. When you do that, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers, Pete.
So here we get a bird's eye view of Jesus interacting with Simon, Simon Peter, and Jesus tells him that he has prayed for him. Jesus praying for Simon Peter. He's interceded for him. Jesus says he knows that Satan wants to sift the disciples like wheat. That is kind of an alarming thing to think about, isn't it? Satan sifting the disciples like wheat. And Satan knows that Jesus is going to, Jesus knows he's going to the cross. And so Satan is just, you know, these guys are going to be prime targets of what's happening. And so Jesus tells Peter that he was pleaded, not just asked, but pleaded in prayer that Peter's faith would not fail. He pleaded to his father on Peter's behalf because Jesus knows the strength that Peter and the disciples will need after he's gone.
So in the very next verse, Peter tells Jesus he's ready to go to prison for him, that he's ready to die for him. Think about that. Lord, I would die for you. You can hear Peter saying that. He's just like, I'll jump out of the boat for you. I mean, he's that arrogant, kind of.
Or bold.
Or both. Lord, I will do anything for you. But Jesus answers in an interesting way. He doesn't say, gosh, Pete, thanks. Wow, Pete, your faith. Gosh, Pete, you're bold. he says, you know, Pete, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will deny me three times. Ooh, ouch, ouch. And that's exactly what happened. Peter denied knowing Jesus three times. You know, but with Jesus, there's always repentance. There's always redemption. Yeah. And so later on, Peter repents, and as in the previous prayer where Jesus says, I want you to turn back, he turns back to Jesus. And once Jesus was gone on Pentecost, Peter passionately shares Jesus with thousands of people. Thousands. It's a powerful prayer that Jesus offers on behalf of Peter and ultimately on behalf of his other followers.
And so let's take a look at some other prayers of intercession in the Bible. There's one in the Gospel of John. Jesus says this, John 17, verses 20 through 21. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are in one. Remember, he's talking to his father. as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, that the world would believe you sent me.
You know, in this whole chapter, chapter 17, Jesus is asking God's intercession. In the earlier part of the chapter, he petitions God on behalf of his followers, referring to them as those God gave him. He asked God to protect them by the power of his name. Jesus asked God to keep them safe from the evil one. Listen to Jesus' words, John 17, 11b. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one.
So that's John 17, 11. At verses 20 through 21, Jesus shifts his petition, praying not only for his disciples, his followers, but to all who believe in Jesus through their message to future believers. That's you. That's you. Jesus is asking for unity, that we would all be one in Christ Jesus, as the Father is in one. Jesus prays that all who believe in us, that's Father, Son, and Spirit, that the world would believe that the Father sent the Son. And so that means 2,000 years ago, Jesus was praying for you, for us, future believers, that we would be unified in our faith and in our belief of God the Father, Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, and in the Holy Spirit.
So those are two prayers of intercession that Jesus offered, and he offers many others you find in the scriptures. But you know, he's not the only one who offers prayers of intercession. The Apostle Paul is among many others, but the Apostle Paul, in his letters to the various churches he cared for, he frequently offered prayers of intercession. He offered prayers for both the church as a whole and for the individuals in them. Here's a prayer he offered on behalf of the church at Ephesus. If you're following along in your Bible or on the Bible app, you can turn to Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. We're going to kind of be taking this line by line. We're using the New Living Translation. Yours may be different, all right? Well, we're going to be on this for basically the rest of the service, so hang with it. Here we start. Ephesians 3, 14, 15, New Living Translation. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth.
So, Michelle, leave that up for just a minute. We see Paul say, when I think of all this. Okay, you can take it down. When I think of all this, well, all what? What's Paul thinking about? What is the this that Paul is talking about? So that's chapter 3. Let's go back to chapter 2, the previous chapter, and we find that Paul, the Apostle Paul who wrote this letter, was addressing the Gentiles. The Gentiles are people, all the people who aren't Jews. So we had the Jews and everybody else who were the Gentiles. And so they all lived in, this is taking place in Ephesus. Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians, and that was located in Ephesus, which is a city in ancient Greece. And the city of Ephesus was full of Gentiles or non-Jews. Also in this previous chapter, Paul reminded the Gentile followers from this church that they used to be outsiders. They were, this is a terrible name that the Jews called the Gentiles. They called them uncircumcised heathens. That wasn't nice. So Jesus is correcting this because he's got some good news that they were called that and they were living apart from Christ. They didn't believe, but now they're brought into the family. They are no longer foreigners. They have citizenship in the family of God now. And so this is such good news for them. God, or Jesus, reminds them that they are united with Christ, members of God's family. So now this means that both Gentiles and Jews who believe in the good news of Jesus share equally in the riches inherited by God's children.
So, you know, even today, people may feel like outsiders when they walk into a church, maybe even this church. Am I wearing the right clothes, they might wonder. Do I have to dress up? A few years ago, we had a guy here named David Burke. He's now a preacher up in Maryland there. And he had a neighbor he invited to church. The neighbor said, "Do I have to dress up? Do I have to wear a tie?" And David says, "No, the preacher doesn't even wear a tie." Of course, that was the one Sunday that year. The one Sunday the whole year. It was during Advent, and I had all these Christmas ties. I said, I'm just one Sunday going to wear that tie. That was the Sunday David said, "Nah, the preacher doesn't even wear a tie." So, but anyway, he wanted to kind of fit in. You know what I mean? Sure we do. Am I wearing the right clothes? Where do I sit? Is somebody going to look at me like, "That's my seat"? You've probably been there. What if I don't know the songs? What if I don't know the tune? What will people know that I'm new? Hello. Can I just slip in and slip out? Maybe that was you when you first came in the doors of Connection Church. One of our core values is radical hospitality. Can you say that? Radical hospitality. Radical hospitality. That's just not like being nice to, that's radical. That means over and above, more than called for, as much as possible. And we need to make sure everyone feels that radical hospitality. They feel welcomed. And that's up to each and every one of us. Not just the welcome team, hospitality team. Not just the ushers or the greeters or that person out on the circles saying, "Here, go park whichever way you park." But every one of us. And with that in mind, we thank all of you for helping this place be a place where people feel welcome, that people feel like home. Thank you.
And so we're going to take a look at Ephesians 3, 14 and 15 again as we begin to put it all together. Paul writes, "When I think of all this, I fall on my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth." So when Paul thinks about all that, the Jews and the Gentiles, and now they're unified as one, they're unified in Christ, he falls to his knees. Thanks God. He doesn't just stand there, "Oh, that's a good thing." He falls to his knees. He humbles himself before the Lord in order to petition the Lord on behalf of the church at Ephesus.
He continues, Ephesians 3:16. "I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will" what? "Empower you with" what? "Through his" what?
"Spirit."
Yeah. Did you read that? Think about that for a minute. God has unlimited resources. No end to the resources that God has. Glorious, unlimited resources. And here's what's even more unbelievable than there are glorious, unlimited resources, is that God allows us to tap into those glorious, unlimited resources through prayer. And that's exactly what Paul's doing here, praying that to benefit from those unlimited resources, that God will empower the people of the Church of Ephesus with inner strength. Say inner strength.
Inner strength.
And what does that mean, inner strength? Well, it means resolve. It means determination. It means fortitude. It means gumption. Say gumption. That's a great word, isn't it? Gumption. And then it's the keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. And how is this going to happen? Through the Holy Spirit, of course. The Holy Spirit is where we find the power. God's holy power. And it's through the power that we find strength. And that wasn't just back in Paul's day. That's right here, right now, today. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us power. The power to lead, the power to encourage, the power to preach and teach, the power to serve, the power to heal, the power to give, the power to keep on keeping on.
It's going to be all right.
Yeah. Amen that. Power, power, power. Do you get the idea that the Holy Spirit means power, right? Holy Spirit means power. Same Holy Spirit from back then until today. Same Holy Spirit, hasn't changed. Same power, different people. You see? God always was, always is, always will be. And he's got the power and he wants to share it with you and me. He wants to share it through us. Through the Holy Spirit, through us. And all we got to do is what? Ask. All we got to do is ask, like Paul did. And Paul was asking on behalf of the church of Ephesus.
And so we've looked at verses 14 and 15 and 16. Now we are on verse 17. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow deep, will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And so Paul is praying on behalf of the people to God. When God empowers the people with inner strength through the Holy Spirit, then Christ will make his home in their hearts, in your hearts. When you claim Christ, he makes a home in your heart. That's how we say you can never be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He resides, the Holy Spirit resides in you, part of you, to your inner core. And this scripture says, you know, he'll make a home in your heart as you trust him more. You know, this trust thing, this getting to know Jesus is a journey. You know, when I was in this part of my life, I knew him and trusted him, and then I learned more, and it's a little more, and it's a little more, and it's a little more. And it will never be exhausted about learning about God. Never. We can never exhaust reading scripture and knowing it all, because the Holy Spirit teaches us new things. And I love this scripture because it says, your roots will grow down into God's love. Those roots, they're anchoring so that when challenges hit, we're just not blown over, but the roots are deep. They're our foundation. He is our foundation. And we have this sense of unconditional and undeserved and never-ending love of God, even when things aren't going great. And that keeps us strong, knowing that, connecting head and heart with that. And so then we're anchored, and the Holy Spirit gives us strength.
Verse 18, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Wow. So this multi-spirit power is multifaceted. It's physical power, it's mental power, it's emotional power, psychological power, it's above all spiritual power. It's whatever power we need when we need it. Holy Spirit's there to supply it. Again, we need to ask. In this case, Paul is asking that the Holy Spirit empower the people to understand. Help them understand to make sense of, to be able to see clearly how wide, how long, how deep, how high, deep God's love is. It reminds us of that song. I'm not going to sing it, relax. But it kind of goes like this: your love is, and then it says, deeper than my view of grace. Well, my view of grace is somewhat limited, so it's deeper than that. My higher than the highest place. Okay, so it just keeps going. Longer than this road I've traveled, because I'm on a limited journey here, right? It's longer from behind and before. Wider than the gap you've filled. Wow. That's a cool song, isn't it? You know, that's a really cool song. In other words, there's nothing that's wider, higher, longer, deeper than the love of God. It's because the love of God is unending. It's unconditional. It's never ending. Nothing we can do can cause that love to not be there. But here's the thing. We need to ask the Holy Spirit for this same understanding. Help us to see how high, how deep, how long, how wide this, so we can at least get a little glimpse of an understanding of just how that love works. Help us, Holy Spirit, to realize that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, greater than the love God has for us. I think we ought to just take a minute here and just pray that, Lord, Holy Spirit, help us see. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit of power, share that power with us, please, and help us to understand, to see, to just get a glimmering of a glimpse of understanding of how deep and how high and how long and how wide this love of God has. This love that is nothing we can do to make God love us more, nothing I can do to make God love us less. Holy Spirit, please help us better understand this love of God and how that can play out through us in our lives to those around us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And so verse 19, Paul continues, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And so Paul prays that they, the people of the Ephesus church, would experience the love of Christ, even though it's too great to fully understand. Too great to comprehend. That's the same with you and me. It is just too great. You know, sometimes when I read scripture, I'm like, what is that about? What's he trying to say to me? And I might not get it. Now, it helps when I'm in a small group and I say that, and then we grapple with it together. But there's also times that I think that maybe it's on purpose that I don't get it, because the next time I engage with the scripture, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to me and I'm more ready to hear it. That's why this is called the living word of God. And so the Holy Spirit helps us understand. And how do we understand to the fullest extent what Jesus did for us on the cross, humbling himself to die for us? But we get a glimpse of that. We get to be in relationship with the one true God, and the Holy Spirit fills us and carries us, and we get to plug into that power. It's all connected. It's all related. Us plugging in to the power of the Spirit, the power of the cosmos, Holy Spirit power. That's Paul's prayer.
Verses 20, 21. Now all glory to God, who is able There's no question there, is it? He might be able, oh, it may be, there's no maybe there. All glory to God who is, say who is able. And who is who? God. God is able. Through his mighty power at work within us. Oh man, he's doing this thing through us. He's not bypassing us. He's going through us to accomplish infinitely more. Not just a little bit more. Not just a touch. Not just a smidge. Infinitely more than we might ask or think. We can't even imagine what he's going to accomplish because our brains aren't that big. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We can't even begin to imagine the God power that's out there. And therefore, we can't imagine what God is capable of and capable of through us. What we do know is this, even though we can't imagine it, God's power is at work through. God's using us. He's working through us 24/7, 365. And he's got a bonus this year. It's an extra day. It's 366, right? And God can do so much more than we can even dream of asking for. But that being so, God wants us to ask. Amen? Amen.
So the scripture that Alan just read, Ephesians 3, verses 20 through 21, is perhaps one of my favorite scriptures, my most favorite. I've got so many.
Out of 500.
But one of the reasons is that I've studied this scripture, and I've come to appreciate it. And we studied with a teacher, it was on video, Priscilla Shire, who's a great woman of God. And we did this in our small group a couple years ago. And she focused on this and tried to get us to see, like, there's more and there's more and there's more. And so she started by saying, as she was reading the scripture, now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory. Do you see how this is going? It's more, it's not just static. It's more and more and more. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so this gives us a glimpse of the immensity of God's power, the richness, the unsurpassing love that he has for us. Why do we hesitate to plug in? He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. There's nothing you've done where God says, I'm done with this person, I'm done with you. His riches are immense and are great, and it's Holy Spirit that carries us every day when life doesn't make sense. And it's important. We read here in this scripture, it's listed in my Bible, verses 14 through 21, which we've just gone through. It's listed here, a prayer for the Ephesians. But it's really a prayer for us as well. And so we want to read the whole thing in entirety so that we can kind of take it all in instead of piecemeal. And I want you to join me as we share this scripture together. So, in fact, I'd like you to, if you're able, let's stand up and let's honor God as we take a look at this scripture, Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through the Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That has been prayed over you by the Apostle Paul to God the Father in heaven. Be encouraged. And we need to pray for one another. You can be seated, please.
This prayer of Paul's for the church of Ephesus is a great example of intercessory prayer. And as Gary said, in many ways, this is a prayer for us right here at Connection. Here's the thing. We are all called to offer intercessory prayer, to pray on behalf of one another, pray on behalf of many others, on prayer on behalf of individuals, to pray on those other than ourselves. And you know, our prayers, sometimes we read something like this and say, no, I couldn't do that. I don't have the words Paul does. I don't have the, you know, I can't be as elaborate as Paul. Well, who can? But we can still pray to God, and that's the important thing. You know, I was visiting someone, I guess it was, two weeks ago, in their home. And this guy had a cough that just wouldn't quit. I mean, it was just like a constant cough. I was driving him crazy. And so I had an appointment the next day to go see the doctor. So we're talking and this, that, and the other. And I end up praying for him as I was leaving, as I do often if I visit. And I simply, it wasn't a real Paul-like prayer with, you know, it was simply, Lord, please give this guy some relief from this congestion. Please take this coughing away from him, if possible. Pretty simple prayer, sincere but simple. His friend told me that he had one good coughing spell after I left, and then that was it. Isn't that wild? That was it. Thanks to God, huh? Yeah. I mean, it's not me at all. God heard that prayer on behalf of this guy and cleaned it up. I mean, man, that was incredible. You know, the power of intercessory prayer. You know, not because of us as prayers, but because of God, because of God's Holy Spirit, because we're calling on God's Holy Spirit and asking with expectation, not expectation like, okay, God, make this happen, but expectation because we know who God is and the power God has, so we look forward to what God can do. There's a group of people here at church who intercede for all the prayer requests that are submitted. You've maybe made a prayer request submit. It's been lifted up. There's a group of people who pray daily for us and for the staff here. Daily. Wow.
Some of us every Thursday meet and do the prayer walk. And you know, it might be one, it might be three, it might be four, but we're interceding. You know, a car goes by, it's like, bless that person in that car, that house, you know. It's just precious time with the Lord. You're welcome to join us. I love Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. We get up a little earlier than I want, but Harper and Nolan, two of our grandchildren, are dropped off just before 7 a.m. So their parents can go to work. And, you know, they get breakfast made to order, and we play Skippo, or, you know, we play a game, and then I take them up to the bus stop. We also have ice cream Wednesday, so they just get ice cream on Wednesday if they want. But
for breakfast.
For breakfast, yeah. So anyway, we're great.
We're grandparents,
yeah,
you know?
Grandparents. So I take them up to the bus stop, and it's really cool. After we play I Spy for a little while, I see the bus coming down, and next thing I know, they're Harper and Nolan are leaning in. We've got our arms around each other, and I lift them up in prayer. Dear God, thank you for my kiddos. Thank you that we got to have breakfast together. Please help them be kind, protect them, help them learn a lot, and be a light in their school, or something like that. And they respond. I mean, they know. They're leaning in. We're hugging each other. And then we all say amen, and then they get on the bus. And that is more important than any Skippo I could play with them or any hard-boiled egg I could fix for them. Because my role as their Re, that's my grandmother name, is to show them the love of God. And we all have that opportunity. Some of us who are grandparents, you know, go for it. It's just such a blessing to be able to infuse Jesus. And, you know, I'm so grateful. I was thinking today, we have 9 grandchildren. Every single one of them are in church right now at some, you know, today. Every single one of them. Because it's a value that we have as a family that it's just what you do. And it's how you learn, and it's how you grow. And we are just so grateful to be able to know Christ and to share the love of Christ with our family.
And you know, that praying also is modeling for those children.
It is.
Harper.
It is, because sometimes she'll start and pray. Or I'll say something at the breakfast table, and Nolan will say, what do you mean you love them? Jesus is your number one. I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. Great conversations you can have.
So this question this morning is, who is it that you know that needs intercession? Who is it? And the real question is, what are you going to pray for? And you might be saying, who am I to pray? I mean, come on, I'm kind of unworthy. Well, hello. All of us are. No one here is worthy, so get that. That's not a good excuse. You're going to have to come up with a better one. Well, I'm not strong enough. Yes, you are. You tap into the Holy Spirit power. He's got strength for all of us, you know? We pray for in the power of God's Holy Spirit, and God's Holy Spirit will give us all the power in the world and beyond. And God is wanting us to prayerfully tap into that power. Especially when we're tapping into it on behalf of someone else. So tap into that Holy Spirit power. And how do you do that? Well, you bow your head, you close your eyes, say, Holy Spirit. And then you start talking. It's pretty simple. It's not really that heady. Holy Spirit, please hear my prayer. Boom. You can start right here this morning. As we close out, as we have this closing song, I'd love to see these steps filled with people calling on the Holy Spirit on behalf of someone else, either here or at home or at work or where at school, wherever it might be. Wouldn't that be a glorious sight? That'd be some serious Holy Spirit power right here at Connection. All of us lifting that up. Wow. Wow. Steps are open. And like I said, it doesn't have to be fancy. It just has to be sincere. Simple and sincere is a good combination. Pray to God in the name of Jesus, in the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's some good news, right? That's some good news.
That is some good news. If you would like to receive intercessory prayer, Nancy and Sue are in the back, and they'd love to pray with you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for this scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Thank you for the model that we have in scripture, the way that Jesus prayed to you, Father God, for his disciples, for future believers, that means for us. It is so humbling to know that the Son of God prayed for us. Thank you for the example, the Apostle Paul, as he prayed for all the different churches and the people. And help us be prayer warriors for one another. Help us, God, just take one more step in trust, and then another, and then another, knowing that even if we don't see the effect of the prayers, that we know that you hear. And so, God, we thank you, we honor you, we glorify you. In the name of the Father and the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody agreed and said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.